There is ministry involved in the support of ministry. It is all ministry. It's amazing to see what Christ will do in the life of a submitted servant. If you just give up your life, you just say, Lord, I'm going to serve you, whatever you want. No strings attached. Not only strings in your heart. Well, this job, I'm not sure about that. No. If you want me, Lord, I'll do it. Whatever you want.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Greg, in today's message, we'll hear the story of a man that many of us may have never heard of before. His name is Epaphroditus.
You know, Dave, I love this man's story because he's just a common guy. Epaphroditus was not a leader in the church. He wasn't an apostle. He was just an ordinary follower of Jesus Christ who dared to step out in faith and do what was needed. And what he did was done at great personal cost. It's really inspiring. And so if you have a Bible handy, you'll find his story in Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 through 30.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, each and every one of us are probably familiar with the idea of an example or someone that one might follow. You know, we're kids. We often have people we look up to, whether it's a parent or, you know, a relative or something, people that we look up to follow and be like them, whatever it might be. We see a lot of people in culture these days wanting to be like the popular people in society, whether it's a sports hero or some comic book thing or whatever. You know, people look for things to follow, to exemplify. And yet as believers, we see that we are to be following Christ. He is our perfect example. And yet in Scripture, we also see that the Lord has given us inspired examples of those who are like us, sinners who are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ that exemplified a right walk with Him. And we have examples in Scripture for us to follow. The Apostle Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And so we are to look to those who are examples and follow their relationship with Christ, not their personality, not whatever it might be, but their relationship with Christ. In Hebrews chapter 13, the writer says, "Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and imitate their faith. Trust Jesus like they did. Let that be an example to you." Well, today we continue our look in the book of Philippians, and we are looking at the last example that the Apostle Paul brings before us of Epaphroditus. We're going to see that he was a faithful, compassionate, sacrificial servant. Would you turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2? We'll be looking at verses 25 to 30. Now, it's about 62 AD. The Apostle Paul is writing believers in Philippi. He is under house arrest. He is very close to them. He was the one who brought forth the gospel, him and Silas. And we see the beginning of the Philippian church 10 years earlier with Lydia and her household and the Philippian jailer and his household coming to faith. And the Apostle Paul is so thankful for God's work in the true believers in Philippi, Philippians, the believers there. And he is confident that God will complete that work until the day of Christ Jesus. And then the Apostle Paul in chapter 1 prayed for them, that their love for Christ would abound in genuine knowledge and discernment, that they would choose the excellent things that would glorify God. And he made it clear of his terrible circumstances that within those they had turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, and that God was magnified through his imprisonment as the gospel went out. And that was his desire, that Christ would be magnified in his life. And there was the real possibility that he was going to go before Caesar, that he might die. And he said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if he was to live on, it would be beneficial for the Philippians, because Paul was focused on serving Christ and thus the body of Christ. And then he went to their circumstances and encouraged them to walk as heavenly citizens in a manner worthy of the gospel, to stand firm, to strive together, to not be afraid of the opposition, knowing that that's a sign that the opposition are on their way to destruction, but these believers are on their way to glory. And then he shared in chapter 2 that they should be walking in the context of unity, like-minded, thinking the same thing. And that unity comes when the body of Christ has the mind of Christ. When the Word of God is working in our hearts, we become unified. And we saw that unity in practice. Chapter 2, we're to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but we are to be regarding others as super more important, super supreme, superior than ourselves, scoping out ways to see others as more important than yourself. And how is this done? It's only as we have the mind of Christ. Have this attitude, or literally mind, that was in Christ Jesus. And that attitude was an attitude of absolute humility and servanthood. The Lord Jesus emptied himself, becoming a bondservant, fully God, but yet submitting himself to the Father's will to serve us, taking on human flesh. And within that, he was obedient. He was humble, being obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. That's the example for us. And we are to be working out our salvation with fear and trembling because God is at work in us. The living God is working in the lives of true believers. And that should work out in the context of fear and trembling, reverence and awe for the God who is doing this work in us. And we saw the first real command coming out of that working out our salvation. We're to do it with the right attitude, fear and reverence, but also we're to do all things without grumbling or arguing. We're to work it out humbly, without complaint or argument. And it's from this point he gives us three examples, the Apostle Paul, of those to follow. The first example being himself, and then Timothy, and then, as we'll see today, Epaphroditus. You'll remember we saw the Apostle Paul was a picture of a life well spent. And we saw there was true joy found in giving our lives over for each other in the context of Christ leading us, just as Jesus did for us. And last week we saw Timothy's example. He was a man focused on the things of Christ, concerned about those things rather than the things of self. He was a proven, demonstrated, faithful servant. He was submissive, humbly serving under Christ, under the authority that God had placed in his life, the Apostle Paul. And now today we take a look at the example of Epaphroditus, who I believe we're going to see was a faithful, compassionate, sacrificial servant of Jesus. Look at verse 25, Philippians 2. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need. Because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I have sent him all the more eagerly, in order that when you see him again you may rejoice and I may be less concerned about you. Therefore, receive him in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. Today we have an example of Epaphroditus. And some of you might have been tempted to say, well, I'm not an apostle, so I can't really identify with Paul's example. Well, we can, as we saw. Some say, well, I'm not a pastor, teacher. I can't really identify with Timothy, but yes, we can, as we saw. But here we're going to see there's a simple servant named Epaphroditus that certainly we all can also identify with. Well, what do we know about this man Epaphroditus? Verse 25 says, but I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Well, first of all, the name Epaphroditus was a common name, and it comes from the Greek god Aphrodite. And so this man was named after Aphrodite, the favorite of Aphrodite. And so most likely he came from a pagan family that named their kid after the god of Aphrodite. And obviously he had come to faith in Jesus Christ. And as we'll see in a moment, the Apostle Paul calls him a brother in the context of the faith. Now it's interesting, on a side note, that early Christians, including Paul, didn't seem to be superstitious or bothered by the pagan names. Epaphroditus wasn't the same guy he used to be. The Apostle Paul understood that. We know in 2 Corinthians, we're new creations in Christ. He's a believer in Jesus Christ. And so obviously he came from a pagan family, it seems like, but yet had come to Jesus Christ. Well, what else do we know about this man? If you turn to chapter 4, we have a little portion on him, and this is all that we have, our passage and this passage. Chapter 4, verse 14. The Apostle Paul says, "Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. And you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I departed from Macedonia," that's where Philippi is, by the way, "no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone." Hey, there was no church that supported me when I left you guys, except you guys. "For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs." The Philippians loved Paul, and they shared that love by helping him in his needs. He says, "Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the profit which increases to your account." Notice what he says in verse 18. "But I have received everything in full and have an abundance, and I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you sent. A fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." So evidently the Philippians had sent Epaphroditus over a long journey, 1,600 miles, to bring a gift for the Apostle Paul to take care of his needs financially while he was in prison. And we know back in our passage, verse 25 says, "Your messenger and minister to my need." He also probably brought them messages concerning where the Corinthians were at. He's a messenger and minister to my need. And so here we see something into the character of Epaphroditus. Because Paul begins back in our passage, looking back in chapter 2, verse 25. He says, "But I thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus." Our passage starts out with a contrast. We don't usually start a thought with the term "but," do we? There's something we're contrasting, and that's what the Apostle Paul is doing. Yet what is he contrasting? Look back a little bit in the portion about Timothy, verse 23. "Therefore, I hope to send him," he's speaking of Timothy, "immediately, as soon as I see how things go with me." He was talking about the possibility of what happens with Caesar. "I hope to send Timothy. I'm going to give you the news about how it happens. He's going to deliver that, but he's also going to check in. He's concerned for you. I have no one else that is not concerned like he is." And he says here, "I trust in the Lord myself. I myself also shall be coming shortly. But I thought, contrast, it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus." I'm delaying Timothy till I hear news, and then he'll go to you. "But I have thought it necessary," and the verb speaks of having sent him, to send him already. "I've sent him to you. In light of keeping Timothy, I thought it necessary to send Epaphroditus." Well, what can we learn from that? Obviously, concerning Epaphroditus' character and what we saw in chapter 4, is he was obviously a trusted envoy of the Philippian church. He had been entrusted to deliver that large financial gift, 1,600 miles. And by the way, it's not an easy journey. It's not like today. He must have been a person they could trust. But also, he must have been a man of godly character. He was one that the Philippians had sent directly to minister to the Apostle Paul. And he was one who was obviously a selfless servant. He was willing to leave the comforts of home, his friends, the Philippian church, possibly family, the fellowship there in Philippi, to serve Christ. As we'll see, he was a minister of Christ, serving Christ, to serve the needs of Paul. No small journey. You see, we often have a wrong view of ministry at times. We think ministry is only the obvious things, the pastor, the teacher, the preacher. Yes, that's ministry. But there is ministry involved in the support of ministry. It is all ministry, as we'll say. And he served by bringing this message for the Philippians and also this gift for the Apostle Paul. And he took great risk. He must have been courageous in Christ. He took great risk to minister to Paul in his imprisonment. You know why? If you identified with the Apostle Paul, you could get thrown in prison too. It's quite possible that Paul being executed, you might have got executed too. It took courage for him to be obedient to the Lord and serve the Apostle Paul in this circumstance. He didn't just write a check and send it off. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But here, his life was at risk, as we will see physically, but also in the context we'll see in terms of the possibilities of getting sick and things like that that can happen on such a journey. So it's quite apparent Epaphroditus was a pagan who had come to Christ, matured to the point where he was a trusted envoy, a man of godly character, a selfless servant who was courageous in Christ. It's amazing to see what Christ will do in the life of a submitted servant. If you just give up your life, you just say, Lord, I'm going to serve you, whatever you want. No strings attached, not only strings in your heart. Well, this job, I'm not sure about that. If you want me, Lord, I'll do it. Whatever you want. He was a faithful servant. Notice back in our passage, verse 25. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need. Paul begins explaining here about Epaphroditus, and he gives us five things that he is in relationship to Paul and them. And here, I praise God that he gives us not only the commands in Scripture, but he gives us examples of real people who had the same temptations as us. No temptation has come upon you except that which is common to man. If you think you're more tempted than someone else, that's not true. It's common. This is a real guy who had real difficulties, and he's an example for us. So then Paul has sent him, and quite possibly it's thought that when Paul had sent him back, that this was a letter he was delivering to them. That's how they received it. So then he sent him, and now we have an explanation of why he sent him. We're going to see, first of all, it had to do with his character. I've sent this man, this guy, and here's his character. Here's who he is. You know him, and then he's going to explain so that they will receive him in the right manner. You know, because they might have thought, you know, first of all, there's going to be the issue of his sickness, but also, if he's well, why is he not serving? Why is he not doing the thing he's supposed to do? Why is Paul sending him back? Maybe he failed. So he wants to share the truth concerning why he sent him back, so that they would receive him with joy. So within this situation, we have something that happened. We'll see in a moment that Epaphroditus had become gravely ill. We read it when we read through the passage. And this illness had lasted such a long time that the Philippians had heard about it. Now, it takes a long time for news to travel 1,600 miles without telegraph. We don't have that anymore. Telephone, right? We don't even use that too much, right? Cell phones, email, the internet, right? It took a long time for it to get back. They didn't have those things that we have. And then the Philippians knew about it. They were very concerned about Epaphroditus. And that concern was relayed all the way back to Paul, that they were concerned about Epaphroditus. So some time has gone by. Epaphroditus desperately, in this case, wants them to know that he had been mercifully healed by the Lord. Epaphroditus, we're going to see, is torn up over them. He's torn up because he's concerned that they're concerned about him, and he's concerned about them, and Paul's concerned about both of them. So with this in mind, Paul is sending him back, and he's going to relay the reasons why. Notice, first of all, he shares the character of Epaphroditus in Christ, who he is. Verse 25, but I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother. You know, the world uses the term brother in all kinds of different ways. Certainly in families, when you're a brother, you are part of that family, right? The world uses it in ways that actually isolates people to different groups, right? But here, as Christians, when we are brothers and sisters, we are in Christ, every single one of us. We are in a family. The term brother speaks of literally from the same womb. But he's not speaking of physical origin. Indeed, most of us, not all, but most of us have brothers and sisters or both. We all came from the same family, right? The same origin. Now, spiritually speaking, we all know that because of sin, all of us are initially in Satan's domain. That he is, by default, our spiritual father because of sin. And yet, when we believed the gospel and trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we were placed into the family of God. We were born again. 1 Peter 1:23, for you have been born again, not from seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and abiding word of God. And he'll say later on, that was preached to you. You see, when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, we became a member of God's family. 1 John 3:1, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. We have a new origin. We're new creations in Christ. Yes, we have a physical origin, but we now have a spiritual origin. We are of Christ. We are in his family. And if you are a true believer, every other true believer around you is a brother or sister in Christ. It's a family in which we are brothers and sisters. And folks, we need to remember this tremendous reality when we think of one another. We really do. We so forget that, don't we? It's so important that we remember we are all part of the body of Christ, those who have trusted in Jesus. It's not that our physical families are not important. We honor them and we love them. But we who are true believers, having evidenced that by obedience to the Lord, a true change in our hearts, have a greater family relationship than our physical family. It's a greater one. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew and then also in Luke? Turn to Luke chapter 8. Jesus' physical family is trying to get him. And if you know the context, they're concerned. He's kind of going out of his mind, basically. That's what they're thinking. They're trying to get him. They're anxiously waiting for him and want to speak to him. And the Lord responds when they say, hey, your family is wanting to get you. They want to talk to you, Jesus. You can look at the parallel portion in Matthew, but I want to read the portion in the Gospel of Luke, or just one portion. Luke 8:20. And it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. That's his family, physical family, right? But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Those who have been changed. This is my family. We sang that song, the amazing reality. God took on human flesh. God our Father. Christ our brother. Tremendous reality. He's God in flesh, but we are now in the family of God. Tremendous reality. If you're a believer, we have entered into a higher relationship. And we need to see one another that way. We really do. It's not that we dishonor our physical families. We are to honor them and love them. But we have a higher relationship. So much higher that it looks like we almost don't like our family in light of the body of Christ. We should love our family in Christ. Paul calls him my brother. With that in mind, notice he also calls him something else. Look at verse 25. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker. The term translated fellow worker speaks of working with or working together. It's a term borrowed from the workshop where people were working together in the workshop for a common task, a common goal. The energy is being expended for a common goal. Pretty simple statement. But what is being done here is the work of Christ. Verse 30, we see that Epaphroditus came close to death for the work of Christ. The work that Christ calls his servants to do.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, how can we begin to live lives like Epaphroditus?
You know, Dave, it's actually very simple. It begins by thinking like Christ, submitting our minds to the Word of God and the God of the Word, and then by His power and strength, humbly serving others in the body of Christ, looking out for the interests of others as more important than our own. And so what might that look like as the Lord leads? Serving physical needs for someone in the congregation, like Epaphroditus did for the Apostle Paul. As the Lord opens a door, it may be coming early to set up for a church event or whatever it might be, staying late to clean up, volunteering to drive someone to the doctor, grocery store. And I'm not just talking about doing stuff for the sake of doing things, but as the Lord leads, serving and loving those in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Done from a submitted heart, a humble heart, having the mind of Christ that puts others ahead of yourself. That's a real tangible way of becoming, really in practice, a trusted fellow soldier, faithful servant like Epaphroditus. Take that step. Be willing to do what Christ brings before you today. You'll be glad you did it.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.